This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, you know what? It's Monday morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is the 24th day of February, and Dan Bongino is about to be the assistant director of the FBI. Can I get an amen? Isn't that amazing? When I saw that text yesterday from Donald Trump, I'm like, this just keeps getting better and better. Can I tell you that? I've got some great sound from Bongino this morning where he's talking about exactly what he would like to do or thought they should do in the FBI when he was still just a common broadcaster like I am and like so many others, right? And, of course, he served in the Secret Service, and he served our nation admirably prior to that. And then he became a broadcaster. But he had some definitive ideas on, people like Adam Schiff. So it should be a lot of fun to see what happens now that he is indeed in the chair where he can impact things, right, alongside Kash Patel. And it's going to be a lot of fun, folks. So, strap your seatbelts on, and let's wait and see what happens when Bongino takes office. He's got to give up probably a pretty lucrative paycheck, I would think, to go and do that. That's the definition of public service. I'm sure he's making a healthy amount of money on his broadcast that he does every day. I mean, he's nationally syndicated. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure we will hear from Bongino at some point. He kind of hinted in his last statement that something big was about to happen, and I think clearly this was it. So I'm just saying. Carl Middleman, how was your weekend?
It was full of hockey.
I guess it was.
It was. All right,
you don't have many nights off between now and when?
March.
Oh, my gosh.
But then again, it's going to be March on Saturday.
Yeah.
But well, we have a game Saturday, too.
That's true.
And a concert.
Yeah. You're going to be
so much stuff.
You're going to be busy. Kim St. Ange has today and tomorrow off. She will return in here on Wednesday. So it is me and Carl and Ethan and Sue Thomas holding down the fort. And of course, there's no shortage of stuff to get to this morning. We've got Hans von Spakovsky coming up in the next hour. Always love having Hans on here. So many issues to talk about this morning, including some of these legal challenges to President Trump's executive orders. And we'll get to that with Hans, of course. We're going to get to some bonus Griff Jenkins a little bit later. And we've got, of course, Matt Pauley is going to check in. Ackerman is off, has been unavailable to us last week and again this week. And I think he's heading down to spring training here soon. So we're going to get to Matt Pauly, who does a lot of the Cardinal coverage and is actually in Jupiter on the air this morning in the 8 o'clock hour to find out what in the world is going on with the Cards. I saw a statistic this weekend that I didn't know, Carl.
What was that?
It said the St. Louis Cardinals were the only Major League Baseball franchise not to pick up somebody during free agency.
I believe that is a true statement.
Wow. Wow. That's stunning, given the fact that we went into the season knowing we needed to make some additions to be better than we were last year. I don't know. We'll talk to Matt about that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. It should be lots of stuff, lots of good stuff on there for us to get to for sure. We got all that coming up for you right now, Carl. Let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You can't work at home. They're not working. They're playing tennis. They're playing golf, or they have other jobs. But they're not working, or they're certainly not working hard. You could never build a company or a country with that.
President Trump talking about civil servants there. And did you see the tweet from Elon Musk this weekend? If you are a civil servant, if you work for the government, you need to email us a list of what you accomplished last week by like midnight Monday, or you're going to get fired.
People in positions of great power tell us if we just violate your civil liberties a little bit, it's okay because we're trying to keep you safe.
Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard, a director of national intelligence, does not think it's okay to violate your rights even a little bit. And that sounds to me like exactly the person you want to have in the situation of someone that could listen to your next phone conversation.
This is a real plan to send the savings that DOGE generates over the next couple of years right back into the pockets of hardworking Americans all across this country. They deserve it. It was their money in the first place, and they need a break.
Yeah, amen. I got to be honest with you. I was not real familiar with James Fishback till I watched him last night, dismantling Michael Smirkonish when it came to the issue of DOGE and the savings and what you, as American citizens, should expect out of your government.
Why is Adam Schiff so worried? Take another look today at the Russia collusion hoax. I know it's a story that's old and a lot of people want to move on. I'm going to be straight with you. I don't want to move on.
That was, of course, Dan Bongino. If you didn't recognize the voice, I mean, if you listen to conservative media at all, I feel confident that you recognize Dan Bongino's voice. He has been a strong advocate of justice over all of those issues for a long time. And, you know, I'm sitting there yesterday doing some show prep, and I see the thing pop up from Truth Social that Donald Trump has nominated Bongino at his own personal sacrifice. He nominated Bongino to take over as assistant director in the FBI. And I say it his own sacrifice because it is, right? And he's got to give up what he's doing now in order to do that. And if you didn't hear the initial statement by Trump, it went something like this: great news for law enforcement. Dan Bongino, a man of incredible love and passion for our country, has been named next deputy director of the FBI. Bear in mind, this is the position that Andy McCabe held in the FBI, right? Next to the man who will be the best ever director, Kash Patel. He goes on to list all of Dan's background: master's degree in psychology, MBA from Penn State, was a member of the in New York Police Department. Whoops, I don't know what
that was. Me? Noise.
Oh, it was.
Don't know why.
Huh. All right, that was an unnecessary sound effect. All right. He was a highly respected special agent with the United States Secret Service and is now one of the most successful podcasters in the country. I still think of that as a broadcaster and not a podcaster. Something he's willing and prepared to give up in order to serve and to work with our United States Attorney General Pam Bondi and Director Patel for justice, law and order, and it will be brought back to America and quickly. Congratulations, Dan. So that is what the president tweeted out yesterday, or Truth Social out. He also said another aspect of the life of Dan Bongino I think is very important. He has a great wife and two wonderful daughters who truly love their dad. What an incredible job he will do. Wow. I don't know that it could get to a whole lot better than that. I want you to listen when we come back here in just a couple minutes. I want you to listen to Bongino's sort of warning in his last podcast. I imagine the last one he'll do before taking this over. You can kind of tell what he'd like to see done, and now he's going to have the influence to make that happen. And that is, if you have, like me, since 2016 even, because it happened right after Donald Trump got elected, watched the scales of justice be tipped in this country. The Justice Department used to prosecute and persecute members of the opposing political party, starting with the fake Steele dossier. None of that was ever properly investigated. None of it. It was just covered over, and they acted like it never happened. And we know we had a presidential candidate in Hillary Clinton, and that's where the whole thing started. And the people inside let it happen and then acted like it never happened. And then nobody was ever held accountable for it, in my opinion. So that is one thing that Dan Bongino might be able to change for us. And I think that I'm sure there's no statute of limitations on something like that. So here we go. And even though it's been 8 years, it'll be interesting to see where they go. All right. We'll get to a quick break here. Carl, who has our national anthem this morning?
Chris Stapleton.
Nice.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy birthday to the man who's bad to the bone, George Thorogood. Carl informs me he is 75 years old today.
Today.
And just announced that they're on tour again. And I think maybe they're coming to the factory, if I remember that correctly.
That sounds about right.
I think that's right. Sometime this summer, you can go see George Thorogood. Maybe not this summer. Don't take my word on that. I did see it the other day. I just don't remember when he's going to be here. I saw him out at Hollywood Casino last summer. Who did he warm up for? He was the warm-up band for somebody, but I can't remember who it was. The first time I'd ever seen him live.
Oh, fantastic. I saw him at Mississippi Nights.
Oh, well, I didn't realize, to be honest with you, because obviously I've seen his music videos and stuff in the past. I didn't realize that most of his guitar playing is with a slide.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He's in Australia, St. Louis, Missouri, June 24th at the Pageant.
At the Pageant. I knew it was a smaller venue. I couldn't remember. It's the Pageant or the Factory. All right. Speaking of which, Killmead is coming on the 22nd of next month, and the tickets are selling fast. I can tell you that. I've been hearing the promos on the air that oddly mentioned that Reardon's going to be there, but failed to mention that Annie and I will also be there. So I just want to let you know that Annie Fry and I will be there along with Mark Reardon to welcome Kilmeade to the factory, which ought to be a fantastic evening, and we're looking forward to that. That'll be a good time. Brian is he's as down to earth in person as he is the person you see on TV, and you can't say that about all of them. I'll just tell you that, having been in the business at the local level for a long time, and then of course. Visiting and getting to know people at the network level, they're not all like that. Brian is a unique individual, and I'm looking forward to him coming to town for sure. All right, I want to get to this Dan Bongino bite. This is what Dan Bongino said on his last broadcast before the announcement was made that he was going to be the assistant director of the FBI. Adam Schiff is probably on a slow boat to a country that does not allow people to be removed back to the United States. Go to cut 15, please.
Why is Adam Schiff so worried? Folks, I strongly encourage you to go back and take another look today at the Russia collusion hoax. I know it's a story that's old and a lot of people want to move on. I'm going to be straight with you. I don't want to move on. We had the FBI in conjunction with the Department of Justice, officials in Congress, foreign governments, and intel people fabricate a story. Invent a story that could have caused and done serious long-term harm to international relations with a nuclear-powered foe. It's kind of a big freaking deal. I'm not letting it go. And you listen to me. This is going to be very important in the coming days. I'm not letting this go. I want to find out what happened because it can never happen again. Not to a Democrat, not to a Republican, not to a Libertarian, not to any United States citizen. You do not get to alter or try to change the course of electoral politics by fabricating a story, hijacking the justice system then to give the patina of truth to a fake story. You don't get to do that.
Wow. Wow. Think about that. Think about what he just said. He just said, listen to me. This is going to be very important for the coming days because he knew this was about to be announced. He didn't know probably exactly when. And boom, he's not ready to give it up. The man who will be the assistant in charge of the FBI says, we're going to go back and look at the investigation, if any, that was done at the time. And it may get reopened is what I see reading between the lines. We're back in a minute with our friend Ryan Schmelz. Stay tuned.
All federal employees must once again show up to work. It's a new phenomenon, you know, since COVID. Show up to work in person like the rest of us. So, I mean, it doesn't work when you don't show up. And I see companies now are all going back to it. They're all going back. It's great. I watch some of the big business leaders saying we absolutely are going back. You can't work at home. They're not working. They're playing tennis, they're playing golf, or they have other jobs. But they're not working, or they're certainly not working hard. You could never build a company or a country with that. So we have a very strong policy, and if they don't show up to work, they get fired.
There you have it. So President Trump speaking this weekend, I believe he was speaking to CPAC when he made these comments. And, you know, Elon Musk got in a little bit of trouble for suggesting if you're a government employee and you don't send us an email telling us what you accomplished the past week, you may be out of there. All the legal experts chimed in over the weekend. He can't do that. He doesn't have the legal authority. He couldn't fire somebody just because they didn't respond to an email. And the point is, and I think Elon's point is, this was sort of a trick. Because his suspicion is that a large number of these people that are working remotely for the government don't check their emails regularly. So I guess you'd know that if you ended up getting an email from your supervisor saying, by the way, Charles, we haven't heard from you, so you're fired. And I don't think that's going to happen. And a lot of them have made it clear that it would go through their regular chain of command. But it'll be interesting to see how many of them actually come through and respond. We might all be in trouble, Carl. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
If we had to provide an email to our boss by the end of the day, tell him what we accomplished last week. Showed up for work.
sure I did.
Provided 20 hours of broadcast excellence. How about that? That's what we did.
Audio evidence that you were here.
Thank you. You can never lie to your spouse about whether you're going to work or not, right? Because they just have to turn the radio on and you're either there or you're not. But clearly, some people in the federal government can hide a little bit better than that. I thought that was pretty good. Musk has not backed off of that, but I don't think that's going to be anything that people take too seriously. Guess who else is trying to get back in the good graces of one Donald J. Trump? Mark Cuban. Remember this joker during the election? He was all in for Kamala Harris. He wanted Kamala Harris this, Kamala Harris that. Go to cut four, Carl.
Parties are dead. You know, we don't think, you know, hey, I'm a Democrat, look at me, da, 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 or hey, I'm a Republican. You know, you've seen registrations on Republicans increase some, and, you know, because Donald Trump is a great salesperson. He really is. He's a great marketer. I put him up there, Donald Trump, then Paris Hilton, then Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, wanting to argue that political parties are dead. I don't think, Mark Cuban, because your chosen candidate got her butt kicked in the last election, that that's some evidence that the parties are dead. I would argue that the Republican Party right now is more vibrant than it's been in a long time. And one reason is because of Donald Trump and the impact he's had on it, conservative voices are being listened to. It's not clear cut that we'll get everything we'd like, but I do think the party is far more vibrant than the Democrat Party, where only one voice matters. The liberal progressives run that party. Look who they elected to run the DNC. The assistant chair is David Hogg, for God's sake. How old is the kid now? 25 or 26 now? I respect all you 25 and 26-year-olds out there. This guy's entire existence revolves around gun grabbing. That's all he cares about. It's all he talks about. It's all he goes and does public speeches about. He hates you if you own a gun. And they put him in charge of the DNC. That tells you all you need to know. So from Mark Cuban's point of view, I would argue the Democratic Party may be almost dead. There's no Joy anymore. Joy Reid got fired yesterday, which is a fantastic bit of news. Maybe they ask her to what she had accomplished the past week. I don't know how that conversation went down. Donald Trump savaged her on Truth Social yesterday, talking about the low ratings, said he didn't understand how she or Alex Marlowe or Al Sharpton remained on the air, and that Comcast, I think is what he referred to, the CEO there of Comcast, is a complete disaster. So, after that, I'm thinking to myself, whew, they got a real mess on their hands. Nobody's watching. And the people like Joy Reid, who bring no joy to the world, for sure, are no longer on the air over there. That was an interesting development over the weekend. We're also watching to see what the House is going to do on budget issues. And our friend Ryan Schmelz of Fox News Radio is on the phone this morning. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. Heard you on the Annie Fry show the other day.
Yes, I become a regular guest there. I think I'll be on there possibly today as well.
Oh, awesome. Well, good. Glad to hear that. That's fantastic. I interviewed Congressman Bost from Illinois on Friday, talking a little bit about this budget thing. He said that the House is going to do something very different than what the Senate sent them in terms of this budget.
It is going to be very different. You know, there's some similarities. Let's keep that in mind. You know, the House version still has the $300 billion in there for border security and national security to help the president kind of achieve his goals there. It also includes some energy policy. But I think the big difference is that the House version is going to pursue the tax law. They're going to have over $4 trillion in in tax cuts. Then $1.5 trillion in spending cuts as a floor, with the goal of hitting $2 trillion. And obviously that makes the bill a lot more ambitious, but this is the one that Donald Trump prefers. But the question is, can the House get enough people on board to get this passed? Because they can really only afford to lose upwards of two or so members, or this bill gets sunk.
Wow. Yeah, here we go again, huh? Right right up against it, because there's no way that Chip Roy and I'm trying to think of the name of a couple of the others, Thomas Massey and others, are going to be satisfied with anything less than a reduction in the size of government.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to be a problem. Now, Chip Roy put a pretty interesting post out yesterday, not saying that he's going to be a no on this. You know, Chip Roy was heavily involved in crafting this legislation because he's on the House Budget Committee. And a lot of conservative members put a provision in there, actually, that says if we don't hit our $2 trillion goal when it comes to spending cuts, then you have to go in there and take provisions out of the tax cuts in order to offset the difference. So that's something that folks like Roy and some other members had been pushing for a long time. Not quite sure if Roy specifically was involved in that one, but I think that there are a lot of conservative members who said that, hey, look, tax cuts are great, but if we're not hitting our goal when it comes to spending, we're going to have to take away some of our goodies and use that to pay for what our goals are.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking to Ryan Schmelz from Fox News Radio. Let's go to the great state of Kentucky. You used to work in Lexington, didn't you?
I did, yes. I was a weekend anchor there about a year and a half.
Yeah, so who would have imagined the day Mitch McConnell would not announce he was running for re-election?
Yeah, I think this is something we had always been preparing for. Obviously, when you hit 80, these things become a lot more of a possibility. Now that it's here, I think it's a little surreal that an era is coming to an end. I think the fact that he's not in leadership anymore kind of made you a little more ready for when the announcement was going to come. But it's still there, and it's kind of one of those feelings like, wow, this has been the face of Senate Republicans for such a long time, and now we're talking about who his replacement's going to be.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a whole nother race where I think things could get a little ugly at some point, and honestly, they already have gotten ugly. So here we go.
I don't remember the names of all the players down there, but I know that I believe the lady that ran against him last time has already jumped into the race again. And the guy that was the lieutenant governor, I think, of Kentucky and ran for governor unsuccessfully is also thrown his name in the race.
He was the attorney general.
Oh, attorney general.
Daniel Cameron.
Yeah.
He was actually at the White House last week for a Black History Month event, believe it or not. And he was endorsed by Trump in that primary for the gubernatorial race. He had an unsuccessful campaign. And what's fascinating is that you have this congressman by the name of Andy Barr, who is considering run himself. He is already weaponizing Daniel Cameron's defeat in the gubernatorial race against him.
Oh, wow.
Saying that, yeah, pretty much saying, hey, this makes us question your electability and whether or not you can get the job done if, in fact, you are the person who wins the primary. So it's gotten a little bit ugly already. And Cameron's team actually hit back saying, well, maybe Andy had a little bit too much to drink at his 100th lobbyist dinner the other night.
Oh, so nice.
This is getting interesting already.
I love it. Ryan Schmelz, thanks for your time this morning, my friend.
Hey, sounds good, Mark. Thank you so much, as always.
Yep, take care. Good to get him on here this morning. That's pretty funny. My comment about the state of Kentucky is this Beshear guy down there, for whatever reason, he's the governor. His dad was governor years ago. I guess it was after I lived down there, but the name is just known all over the state of Kentucky. So on name recognition alone, his son basically won the governorship and for some reason has endeared himself to people, despite the fact the state almost always votes red for presidential elections. They have reelected this Democrat to governor a couple of times now, and Daniel Cameron ran against him and lost. And now he's running for Senate. So we'll see. We'll see what happens down there in the great state of Kentucky. All right, coming up, we're going to get to our friend Hans von Spakovsky. Lots of legal challenges already against the Trump administration. What happens to those? How serious a threat are they? We'll get to Hans coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I was telling Carl I don't want to talk about it. He told me this album was released 50 years ago today. Makes
50.
You feel old. 50.
Double album. Physical Graffiti. Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. We're keeping you up to date on your rock history here. Don't mind.
But 50 years ago today.
Does make me feel old, I'll just have to say. Wow. Unbelievable.
You'll hear more songs from Physical Graffiti later today.
Ah. We need to, we're going to have to try to get somebody from the, maybe Missouri Senator Mike Moon or someone on the air this week to talk more about this bill that's pending down there. We talked a little bit with our friend Nick Schroer about it on Friday. But I've found a few more details out about this bill that everybody's raising so much hell about down in Jefferson City, right? Specifically about the caps on big pharma. Remember, it's kind of, you probably, I saw a billboard about it on Lindbergh yesterday. Went to the Magic House with my grandchildren, and there's a billboard there on Lindbergh as you come south on Lindbergh toward 44. There's a billboard claiming that if this gets defeated, that it's somehow going to hurt farmers in the state of Missouri. And I don't really understand that, because what you need to understand is this. This was known as the Bayer Monsanto Roundup glyphosate bill. It will change all labeling requirement for chemicals from all manufacturers from now on, and would give them immunity from liability under a failure to warn claim. There will still be two causes of action under which you could sue: design defect or manufacturer's defect, but few cases are ever brought for those causes of action. Failure to warn is the predominant action used when suing these companies. So it sounds like this bill, which did pass the House and is on its way to the Senate, is just a big liability cover bill for these big pharma manufacturers. So you know where the money's coming from to lobby for this thing, for sure, right? I also found this interesting. They're arguing that this would ban the use of the product. Well, that's not the case at all. It simply gives immunity to the companies against a failure to warn claim. So there's no recourse if you get sick from the product, right? And the argument that it hurts farmers is not true, because they can still use the products. And again, back to what RFK has said before, these chemical companies do their own testing to submit to the EPA. They only have to submit results from concluded studies. So in other words, if they start to do a study and it's not going the way they want it to, they just cancel it. And therefore, since it never concluded, they don't have to report the results. There's a lot of problems here. We need to put a lot of pressure on our state senators to make sure this thing dies on the vine and gets voted down. Oklahoma withdrew a bill just like this last week, and Donald Trump and RFK are against this bill. So I just wanted people to understand exactly kind of what was going on down there. And if your state senator hasn't expressed how they're voting on it, call them up and let them know how you feel about it. All right, coming up, Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us, legal fellow from of course, the Heritage. And we're going to talk more about all of these legal challenges Donald Trump is facing right now. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.